Today on Maine Calling, Ukrainians who have recently arrived here in Maine. Nearly 8 million people are estimated to have fled Ukraine since the Russian invasion. Most are now in Europe, but about 150,000 are now in the U.S. And some have come here, to Maine. Three Maine nonprofit agencies are helping Ukrainians who have fled the war, as are private citizens. More new arrivals are expected soon. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will learn about the efforts to help Ukrainians, what their status is here in the U.S., and what kind of obstacles they've faced in fleeing their country and finding safety. Ukrainians seeking refuge in Maine. That's next on Maine Calling.
Maine Calling on Demand is made possible by Maine Seacoast Mission, strengthening Maine's coastal and island communities through education, health, and support. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Since Russia invaded Ukraine in February, some of those who have left Ukraine have found their way to Maine. Today, we'll learn about these new arrivals, how they're doing, and ways to help. Joining me, Anza Ouattara, State Refugee Coordinator for the Office of Maine Refugee Services with Catholic Charities Maine, and Misha Klimov, a French teacher at Shewanki who grew up in Ukraine and has many family and friends there. We invite you to join the conversation. Share your comments and questions by email, talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on social media, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Anza, how many people, do we know how many people from Ukraine have come to Maine since the start of the war in Ukraine in February?
Thank you very much. To be honest with you, I may not be able to give you an exact number, but I can give you a very plausible number. For example, the process of the Ukrainian arriving in the United States is very different from the traditional refugee resettlement process. So for that reason, my office may not have, you know, an accurate number. But we do know that in the state of Maine, for example, 248 supporters or sponsors have filed for their beneficiaries in Ukraine to come to Maine. And again, it's a process that maybe during the show I will be able to explain a little bit more. But it does not mean all the 248 have arrived yet. It does not even mean that all the 248 have been vetted outside the United States to come. So according to the Office of Refugee Resettlement for the fiscal year 2023, we are estimating that 95 Ukrainians have come to Maine. But again, my office has a number that is different from that, because my office, that is the Office of Maine Refugee Services, who administer all the refugee programs in the state, have an aggregate number of 61 Ukrainians that might have walked through our doors or that might have walked through the door of the three resettlement agencies that exist in the state of Maine.
So these are the people that have reached out to help to the agencies. It is very possible that people have come here and not reached out for help.
Exactly.
That's right. And what is Catholic Charities doing to help those who arrive here?
According to the policy letters issued by the Office of Refugee Resettlement in April, so all the Ukrainians coming through what we call the U4U program, that is the United for Ukrainian program, qualify for the mainstream refugee benefit. That is, they qualify for the temporary assistance for needy families. Senior Ukrainians qualify for SSI. Families qualify for food stamp. They can work in the United States. They have work authorizations. And those that don't qualify for the temporary assistance for needy family they can qualify for what we call the refugee cash assistance. And they also benefit from all the support and coordination services that the three resettlement agencies across the state provide to the mainstream refugees.
Misha, tell us about your background. I understand you grew up in Ukraine. Do you still have family and friends there?
Yeah, many. Well, I was born in Kazakhstan, actually, in the Soviet Union, Soviet Socialist Republic of Kazakhstan. And we moved to Ukraine when I was 8. And we moved to eastern Ukraine, to the village right on the border with Donetsk region. Yeah, since 8 till I moved to the United States in 2000, I lived in Ukraine. And after I finished school, I went to study to Kyiv, to Kyiv Linguistics University. Studied foreign languages. Yeah, so I have friends in eastern Ukraine and Kyiv, where I spent a good number of years, my university years, and before I immigrated to the United States. And everywhere, all the corners of Ukraine, western Ukraine, eastern Ukraine, I have a lot of friends. And my family is in Zaporizhia region. One sister is now under the occupation, and another sister is in Zaporizhia itself. It's now being constantly bombed by the Russians.
Are you able to communicate with your family and friends?
Well, off and on. Yeah. Well, with my sister, who is under occupation, she was out of touch. Then she got their connection. So if she has their connection, she would try to reach out, and I would call back. So I haven't talked to my sister. She lives in a small village in the Zaporizhia region, in maybe a week now. But with my sister in Zaporizhia, I just talked to her yesterday, actually asking her for feedback and asking what's going on there. And the other friends who are, like one of my friends who I talked to yesterday, I kind of spent a lot of time preparing for that show to talk to the people, to give their feedback and what they think is important to highlight. And one friend is in Peru, but she's a teacher at the international school, Pechersky School International, that's now there in Warsaw for reasons of war. And she's a historian, so she gives me a lot of insight. And another friend who like gave me a whole lecture from the start. So they're like I get a lot of insight and many stories, many tragic stories. And
what do they want you to say today? What do they want you to share with us?
Well, I have these notes that I took, so it's
okay. Let's just be showing right. Me 4 or 5 pages of handwritten notes. Misha, why don't you tell me one very important message that seems as though everybody wants to tell us?
They're very concerned about the spread of Russian propaganda, the lies that are penetrating not only the Russian side, but it's actually kind of they're targeting the whole Russian-speaking world, including the United States. That's was shocking and, well, surprising, and shocking and very frustrating for me to know that there are people in the United States, living in the United States for a long time, who listen to the propaganda and believe it. And it's very, well, it's like very painful when they deny even the this, suffering of people, how much, and most of all that the Russians, what they do is beyond despicable, and it's shock that came with the realization that they can do it to the neighboring, their brotherly people, and all these stories that are just beyond shocking, beyond comprehension, beyond, I always use the word beyond because it was really a shock to learn, and all the details that they tell me this story. So many would tell the stories. I told them that the personal stories, that's what I think that's very powerful. So I have a lot of personal stories. And the main message, please help. And it's not only our the problem of the two Eastern Europe, Russia and Eastern European countries that have a conflict. It's a global problem of defending our values, defending our future. So there's a lot at stake, and they have a very strong message of the world to wake up and really protect the humanity from this big bully, the fascist aggressor. I have a lot of bad words to say about Russia right now, but I'll leave it there.
Calling in now is Olesha Polyacheva. and Alesha, I'm going to have you correct that for me, who recently arrived in Maine from Ukraine. She will be speaking to us with an interpreter. Alesha and Inna, thank you for joining us today. Alesha, why don't I ask you first if you could pronounce your last name for us?
Alesha Polyanchova. Hello, my name is Alesha Polyanchova.
Polyanchova, thank you. And Inna, what is your last name?
My last name is Cherednichenko.
All right. Well, Alesha, tell us your story. Why did you leave Ukraine and why did you come to Maine?
Ми з сином жили в місті Херсоні в Україні, і воно було захоплено російською армією з березня місяця. Оскільки я була поліцейським, російські солдати намагались мене знайти, і я втекла з сином у місто Миколаїв, але нам там теж бомбили росіяни.
My son and I were in the city of Kherson, Ukraine, and it was taken by the Russian army from March. Because I was a police officer, Russian soldiers were trying to find me. I escaped with my son to the city of Nikolaev, and we were being bombed by the Russians there too.
Alesha and Inna, I'm going to ask, if I understand you're in the same room, if you could stand a little further apart from one another, because apparently we have an echo. Alesha, but let me make this clear. You were a police officer in Ukraine, and so you knew you would be targeted. So you and your son fled here to the United States. How old is your son? How is he doing?
Уточняю, що ти була поліцейським офіцером і що ти приїхала сюди. Скільки років твоєму сину?
Так, я працювала в поліції, і моєму сину зараз 13 років. Коли виїжджали, йому було ще 12, але з ним все добре, дякую.
I was working as a police officer. And my son is 13 years old. Now he's okay. Thank you.
What has been the most difficult part of your experience?
Що було для тебе найважчим у твоєму досвіді?
Все було важко. На початку війни ми тиждень ховалися в підвалах, тому що були бої за місто Херсон. І так як я поліцейська, я жила в постійному страху, тому що людей переслідували за підтримку України.
Everything was difficult. In the beginning of the war, there was a battle for the city of Kherson, and we had to hide in basement shelters. I was a policewoman, and I was living in a constant fear because people were being persecuted for supporting Ukraine.
How
Російські солдати прийшли.
Go ahead.
Російські солдати прийшли до моєї квартири і шукаючи мене, і на щастя, мене не було вдома в цей час.
The Russian soldiers came to my apartment looking for me. And luckily, I was not at home.
І вибратися з окупованої території було кошмаром, але я повинна була це зробити.
It was a nightmare to get out from the occupied area, but I had to try after that.
І нам довелося пройти багато блокпостів, і якби вони дізналися, що я з поліції, вони б мене вбили або взяли в полон.
We had to go through many checkpoints, and if they found out I was with police, I would have been killed or sent to comparison camp. Concentration camp.
І це було диво, що я вибралась, тому що йшов тоді сильний дощ, і вони просто погано збірили мої документи зі своїми списками.
It was a miracle that I got out. Because it was raining heavily and they didn't check my papers again the early 12.
Alicia, how long have you been in Maine, and why did you choose Maine? And what is it like for you here? Do you like it? Do you have neighbors? Do you have people helping you?
Олеся, як довго ти живеш в Мейні? Яка допомога тобі потрібна? І чи є люди навколо тебе, які тобі допомагають?
В Мейні я проживаю 4 місяці, і я приїхала сюди по програмі «Uniting for Ukraine», тому що в Мейні проживають мої брат і невістка.
I live in Maine 4 months. And I came here by the program Uniting for Ukraine. And I came to Maine because my relatives live here.
І все дуже добре тут. І ми не очікували, що отримаємо таку потужну підтримку від такої кількості людей, яких ми просто не знаємо і не знали.
Everything has been very good here. We did not expect that we would receive such strong support from many people who didn't know us.
I'm happy to hear that, Олеся.
З житлом, да. Нам допомогли з усім, з одягом, житлом. Ми все маємо, дякуємо.
We were helped with everything, with housing, with clothes, and we have everything we need.
Олеся, one of our guests here, Misha, would like to say something. Misha, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk a little bit about what's happening on the occupied territories, like these checkpoints that Alicia mentioned. And just so my sister, who is in Zaporizhia region, she was telling me about, even if you need to get some from point A to point B, you have to go through this very intimidating checks. They would with a strip search, and they also have the access to the information. Like, it's very, very lucky that she got out, because like the when they invaded the region where my sister, there's this neighboring town, Rozovka, they had the list of all the territorial defenses, the civilians who were just defending there, and they shot them all. So, like, the thing, there is another case. They hanged a woman who was, she was yelling, Skadovsk, in Kherson region, by the way, Skadovsk city, actually my brother has a house near. Skadovsk is Ukraine. They just hanged her publicly. So there's public hanging happening. Also, they occupied, I also talked with the refugees when I was in Krakow, and they're saying the same stories. That they demand that you leave the doors open so they can come anytime and check. Well, and so if the doors are closed, it's a reason enough to just shoot people. So this woman on the train that was taken from Krakow to Berlin to visit my sister was telling me that they shot the father. I forgot, she said he drank a little, neighbor. So they were just telling about, drank some and closed the door. His 14-year-old was with him. The women left and they shot them. In Kamish Zarya, in my this area where I grew up, also another town, they also was the same happened to the family. The door was closed. They shot, and including children, the husband, wife, and two kids. Yeah, there's like the list is so long. Like the schools, for example, they closed. They imposed Russian school. They said if you don't send the kids to school, they will take you away. They actually take the kids away, deport them to Russia. They I just can go on and on, but I have all
Thank
this
you,
list
Misha.
With the names, with the yeah the
we will talk
people.
More.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
yeah. I want, before Alicia, before we say goodbye, I want to ask you, what help do you need now?
Alicia, до того як ми попрощаємося, скажи, будь ласка, яку допомогу тобі потрібно зараз?
Ну, допомога наразі більше за все, звісно, мені потрібна допомога з орендою квартири, з оплатою оренди квартири, тому що я одна з сином, і мені дуже важко це. Але
Most of all, I need help with my paying rent because I live with my son and I am without husband in this country. And if anybody can support me in this situation, I would be very grateful.
Alicia, thank you for calling and telling... Oh, I'm sorry, Alicia was still talking. Go ahead, Alicia.
No. Я просто хотіла ще зазначити, що більше все ж таки допомоги потребують люди в Україні.
But I was to mention that the Ukrainians in Ukraine, they need more help than I. And I want to tell you what help they need. Олеся, розкажи, яку допомогу треба.
Звичайним людям просто потрібні генератори, тому що, наприклад, у моїй родині в Україні кілька днів немає світла і там дуже холодно.
The people need generators because they don't have electricity and it is very cold in their houses and my family also is without electricity and all people need generators in Ukraine.
Yeah. Alicia, thank you.
Can she speak more or not?
Yes, and we will talk about that as well. Before we say goodbye, where in Maine are you living? What region of Maine?
Okay. That is the west of Maine.
Я проживаю в місті Auburn.
I live in Auburn.
And Inza, I wanted to ask you, there are several Ukrainian families living in Auburn, I understand. What is being done to help them? As Alicia said, she needs help with rent.
Yes. Thank you very much, Jennifer, for the question. You know, that's why I wanted to talk a little bit about the program, but I can explain the program later. But right now, to just answer the questions straightforwardly, they need to reach out to one of the resettlement agencies in Auburn, and they have a RIS, which is a Refugee and Immigration Services for Catholic Charities, in not in Auburn, in Lewiston, actually. They are located on Park Avenue, 37 Park Avenue. They can go there in the office, and then we will probably get information about them, and then we can see how we can help them with that need. They can also go to Lewiston at the Maine Immigrant and Refugee Services. They are located on Bartlett Street. I may probably put the information in the chat later. They can also go there for assistance. And these two resettlement agencies will reach out to our office and with the issues and need, and then we will probably respond to them adequately.
We do need to go to a break. I want to thank you both for joining us. Alicia Polancheva, who recently came to Maine from Ukraine with interpreter Inna Chernenchenko. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. For Rooks, and we are talking about people from Ukraine who have left their country and come to Maine and some of the challenges they faced. Joining me, Misha Klimov, who is a language instructor at Chewonki. He grew up in Ukraine. And Enza Watara, State Refugee Coordinator with Catholic Charities Maine. Join our conversation by email, talk@mainepublic.org. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. And Enza, we had to go to a break, but why don't you explain a little more about the program you were talking about?
Thank you, Jennifer. The Ukrainian that are coming coming to the United States or in Maine through what we call the U4U program. The U4U is Uniting for Ukraine program. This program is a brand new program that has nothing to do with the traditional refugee resettlement process. So for that reason, it has some limitation in the area of how the Ukrainian that come through that program access services. Okay, so the program goes like this. It is somebody from the United States. Misha, excuse me if I take you as an example. Let's say Misha want to bring his sister that you talk about now in the program, right? Misha will fill what we call a I-134, okay? That is, he's making the agreement with the USCIS to support his sister, who is his beneficiary, to come to the United States. Then when he submit that application to the USCIS, USCIS will go through that application and connect with the beneficiary wherever they are, from Ukraine or any other part of the world. And then when that beneficiary is approved to travel to the United States, then they can now come into the United States. You can see that that process put aside all the infrastructure that are already here that serve refugees. It's between the sponsor and the beneficiary and USCIS. Then when the sponsor now, when the beneficiary now reach in Maine, right, now it's left with the sponsor and the beneficiary themselves to find out, you know, from the resettlement agencies or our offices in Maine to come to us to, you know, announce that they are here, and then we can probably take, you know, start assisting them from there. So that's like a barrier. That's a difference between this program and the traditional refugee resettlement program. But I can assure you, each time we have had somebody walk through our door, we made sure that they receive all the benefit that they are entitled to. So for the housing benefit, for example, because this program does not cover the core resettlement benefit within the first 90 days, the housing can be addressed differently. And again, it's not because the housing is ultimately the number one need, because the beneficiary is coming and it's assumed that they are going to be staying with the sponsor, right? And when they get here and then they need their own independent housing, that becomes a need, you know. But we don't have, we have a policy that have some language about helping them with housing. So when they walk through our door, when they come to us, we can look at that and see how best we can help them with the housing.
On the line with us now is Charles Govan, who is Resettlement and Integration Manager with Maine Immigrant Rights Coalition. Thanks so much for joining us, Charlie. And you've heard what Enza has said about the process and how the people coming here from Ukraine have some differences between others who have come to Maine as refugees. What would you like to add to that? And what do you think people in Maine need to know?
Thanks for having me, Jennifer. And yeah, Enza's absolutely right to draw the distinction between the Uniting for Ukraine program and traditional refugee resettlement pathways here in the country. You know, I think that it can be confusing in media discourse, you know, for the general public to keep straight all of the differences among the various immigration statuses for, you know, people who we sort of group together as new Mainers. As Enza said, Uniting for Ukraine is different from traditional refugee resettlement pathways. It uses an immigration, or rather, people who arrive through the Uniting for Ukraine program actually come with a status which is known as humanitarian parolee. Now, the status allows them to legally reside in the United States for a given period of time. But within that time, they have to find a more permanent legal pathway to permanent residency. For many Ukrainians, this will be done through applying for asylum. Some of those who already have relatives living in the country may choose to pursue family reunification immigration pathways. But essentially, the important thing to note is that, you know, when they arrive here, unlike refugees who are assured the right to reside in the country indefinitely, Ukrainians still have to navigate some kind of immigration legal process to assure that they have that right as well.
So they're allowed to come here. There aren't obstacles to coming, but there are obstacles. It's on a temporary basis unless they pursue other pathways.
That's correct. And Enza importantly mentioned the need for having a financial sponsor in order to just get that humanitarian parole status to travel to the country. So there needs to be, whereas when refugees arrive to the country, they have sort of a pot of federally assured funds that will help them with their initial resettlement needs, like Enza said. Ukrainians are meant to their financial sponsor, who has to sort of submit assurance that they're able to support them, along with the application for humanitarian parole status, is meant to act in lieu of that federal money that refugees get when they arrive.
Charlie Govan, thank you so much for calling in. Charlie with the Maine Immigrant Rights Coalition. We'll go to a caller from Rockland. Here's Jared. Hi, Jared. Go ahead. Jared, go ahead. Jared, go ahead. Are you there?
Hi, this is Jared. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Sorry about that. Hi, this is Jared McCannell from Penobscot Bay Language School. And I was calling in, first and foremost, to say thank you for having this discussion. Here at Penobscot Bay Language School, we're a 501c3 nonprofit. Traditionally, we had been a small foreign language school in the Mid-Coast region. But during the pandemic, we reassessed the language learning needs of the state and found a sizable gap that we could jump in with our expertise in language learning. And we created a free ESL for new Mainers program. And I wanted to thank your guests for pointing out that new Mainers is a large category and a lot of folks fit into it. And essentially, we're looking to connect with anyone that's looking for these services. We know there's need across the state. We've created an online and in-person approach, and community-oriented, where we bring in folks from the community to work one-on-one with people as well, and a real wraparound program, and just want to get the word out.
Jared, that's wonderful. How would people contact you?
The best thing to do is either email director@penobscot.us, that'll go right to me, and they can always call 207-594-1080.
Jared, you're fading, but we'll try to get some information on our website and our Facebook page. Thank you so much for calling in. And Misha, let me turn to you. You're a language instructor. How much of a burden is it, the language barrier, when Ukrainian refugees are coming to Maine? Or do many speak a little English?
Well, from my experience, I was in Krakow in April. Not many spoke any language other than Ukrainian or Russian. And it was refugees from Eastern Ukraine, from small towns, from villages. Some of them didn't even know how to use a cell phone, didn't have cell phones. It of course varies. Yeah, that's, I think that people from small towns, from villages, more likely they haven't been exposed to English much and don't speak English. And it's a huge barrier, of course. And psychologically very difficult for when you are in the environment, and especially after going through the shock. Actually, I was just contacted by my classmate from she's in Pennsylvania. I just found out recently that she was in Mariupol, and because my village is very close to Mariupol, I know this area very well, and she was wounded, and she doesn't even remember how it all happened, but the sponsors brought her to Philadelphia, and she asked me I need to learn now. I need to learn English, and she's I'm so now I'm a bomb. She's just so degraded speaking that she lost everything. There is no hope. There is just the people are so depressed, and they're trying to, and she doesn't even want to. I said, "Do you want to talk?" And I always want to talk. She doesn't even want to talk to me. My school was so small, very small village. There were 14 of us in the class, and here my classmate ends up here in the United States. And that's it's very difficult. So the help is really needed. Yeah, they need a lot of help and support for sure.
It's important perspective on not just the idea of having to learn the language, but also to do so when you're in a really, really difficult place emotionally. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. We do need to go to another break. We're talking about the experience of Ukrainians who have come to Maine. The phone number 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or find us on social media. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. And today on the program, we're discussing Ukrainians here in Maine. With me Inza Watara with Catholic Charities Maine, and Misha Klimov, language instructor who grew up in Ukraine. If you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org if you're really quick, or find us on social media. I'm going to go to Nancy, who's calling from Central Maine. Hi, Nancy. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you for taking my call. I live in a neighborhood, and we are lucky enough to have Ukrainian refugees living in our neighborhood. It's an elderly couple, and we notice them walking and alone most of the time. So, like I would do with any neighbor, I introduce myself, and the language came up, and so the woman said, I can't speak any English. So I just didn't give up, and anyone can download a free app on their phone for Google Translate. It's not perfect. You have to speak slowly, but you can communicate, and you can see the text, and you can also hear it. What I've noticed is this couple is lonely. They've lost everything. It's traumatic going to another country, not knowing the language, and it's, at any age, it would be difficult to become fluent in another language. The family, their family who's supporting them here, are so pushed to take care of both sets of elderly parents and then try to help them get into the community. So I would encourage anyone who's listening to this, find out if you have Ukrainians in your neighborhood. Meet them, invite them for tea, and it is really, really worth it. The other thing I have not heard mentioned is a program called WIN, Welcoming Immigrant Neighbors, and they have an office in Bangor. And they set up, if the family wants it or needs it, they will set up a small group of people and hopefully one person who speaks the language to help that family get acclimated to their community. Mm-hmm. And I do, I have that number. Of course, it's not in this room, but I'm going to get it for you right now.
We can look it up, Nancy. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, great. Thank you. Well, the person's name is Penny Lamhut, and she's in Bangor. Her number is 207-951-0538.
Nancy, thank you so much for calling in with your story, and thank you for being a kind neighbor. And so what would you like to add to what Nancy says?
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah. Yes, Nancy might be one of the good community members that are really refugee-friendly and that are really concerned about refugee successful integration that we would like to work with, and we would like to encourage everybody to emulate. Yes, again, this community, Ukrainian refugees that are coming into Maine are also really qualify for the benefit for mainstream refugees, even though temporarily. So I'm not sure if this couple, for example, or if Nancy can probably refer this couple to one of the two resettlement agencies in the area. And then they will probably help them register for the adult education classes, which is also one of the benefits that refugees get when they come to the to Maine. So, and we have refugee resettlement agencies in the area that will be that have our programs that can enroll these elderly in. And also, I would like maybe to ensure that these elderly get all the full benefit that they deserve to be, to help them integrate successfully in the community. And I would like to also thank Nancy for taking, the time to reach out to them, and even the effort to break the language barrier innovatively with the Google app to try to talk to them. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And Misha, I want to ask you, hearing Nancy's story, what advice you would give someone who finds out that they have a neighbor who has come from Ukraine, or somebody in their community
I'm sure there's a balance between being friendly and also maybe being overwhelmed.
Yes, yeah. Be aware that the people are really can be very overwhelmed, can have PTSD more likely post-traumatic stress disorder. And it's like I said, like my classmate who doesn't want to talk to me, that I would think that she would like, and she has a lot of internal trauma that needs to be processed. And you can be friendly, just listen, maybe just walk quietly, not necessarily that you have to go out of your way to talk. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, Google Translate is pretty good.
Yeah.
Way. Yeah. But kind of like my advice is not to expect too much and not to impose too much and give gradually let people open up to you. Yeah, like the emotional. But and, you know, sometimes silence can tell more than can be more welcoming than too many words.
But you would recommend people let their neighbor know that they're there and they care about them, but then maybe let the relationship unfold naturally because everyone's different. Nancy, thank you so much for calling in, and thank you. It's such a important story you're telling. We're going to go to Art calling from Hancock County. Hi, Art. Go ahead.
Well, hi. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm the president of a group that has just formed within the last 2 months, and we're in the process of currently sponsoring two families to come into Hancock County. We're set up through a group called Welcome NST, NST being capitalized and no spaces in that. Their website is welcomenst.org. They're one of the agencies that work with USCIS, the Citizenship and Immigration Service, in order to go through all the paperwork and all the bureaucratic stuff that has to get done in order to qualify these immigrants or refugees, and then to bring them into our area. They're also been coaching us through the process of setting up our neighborhood support team so that we'll be ready to welcome them. We're currently working with two families, one of whom is almost through the entire registration process, and we hope will be able to join us in Hancock County in January. The second family is probably 3-4 weeks behind that and coming over here. And we're working through the housing issues right now and working through recruiting members of the community and organizations in the community to support us in our program. If anybody would like to don't know about the Welcome NST and this whole process and stuff, I would encourage them to send an email to me, artworcester@gmail.com. That's Worcester without a C-E. Just let me know, and I'll be more than happy to take you through the process and help you understand.
Art, thank you so much for calling. WelcomeNST.org. I appreciate that. And Insa, this is what you're talking about when you say that you are not sure how many people are here or how many are coming, because different organizations and different people, like Art's organization working in Hancock County, are working really hard to bring people here.
Exactly. That's what I was saying, because it's a different model entirely. You know, fiscal year 2022 has been a very big year of change in the refugee resettlement landscape in the state of Maine. We moved from the traditional refugee resettlement process to the Afghan resettlement process, which is now different from the Ukrainian resettlement process entirely. And for the last caller, one thing I can add to that is for them, in addition to the training they are getting from the USCIS to bring these folks over, they should also probably be more proactive about the legal pattern that these folks will have to take. Because when they come here, according to the policy around the U4U program, they are being paroled for 2 years. And so anybody that's probably helping the Ukrainian to come need to think beyond that. Okay, so when they come here, is there anything being done to for the legal immigration pathway process? So who is going to help them apply for asylum when their 2-year parole is over, or even before the 2-year parole is over? And after the application for the parole, for the asylum process, which would be probably one of the pathways that they can take, or the temporary protective pattern. So there is a lot of things into it after the Ukrainian arrive here, that I would like anybody that is sponsoring Ukrainian to look beyond the arrival, you know, to, I mean, only. So if they can probably work on that, that would be great. And again, our office is also here for Mainers that want to sponsor Ukrainian. I think I put our link. If you can share that on your Facebook, Jennifer, that would be great. So our office is here. When the people arrive, you can reach out to us to see what we have for them and who will be happy to help with what we have.
Thank you, Art. And we will do that. We will post all the links you've mentioned, Enza, on our Facebook page and on our webpage. Misha.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, just recently I went to a great event organized by the Azerbaijan community in Maine. Mm-hmm. For in support of Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And there were some people who came from Auburn. Someone gave them rides. Like they, mm-hmm. many of them don't drive. So is there like events, if you see events that are, and it was so just beyond exceptionally good and great support for you Ukrainians. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you, you know, your neighbors, you know that they don't drive, and if you know about an event that you know related to Ukraine or even something else that you may want to offer them to join you, yeah, to some concert, to yeah, but especially the events.
I'm glad you brought that up. We do have an email from Carl. I won't read the whole email, but he's mentioning this issue about transportation, and that you know, many people of course do not have a driver's license, and he asked, why can't Maine do something to help immigrants get to work or anywhere? And so what you're saying, Misha, is that you, if you know someone, offer to give him a ride.
Yeah. Can I?
Yes, Enza, go ahead.
Yes. Some of the program we have for the refugees also is called the Refugee Social Support Services, which the Ukrainian population benefit from. So there is a possibility of helping any Ukrainian that would like to probably get a driver's license as it relates to getting a job, for example, that we can fund. So these are also things that you know, if you encounter any Ukrainian person that have transportation issues that could probably benefit from getting a driver's license as it relates to probably getting a job and transporting themselves to work. Yeah, we have policies and we have programs that depending on what the person wants to do, depending on what the Ukrainian population member want to do, we can see how we can support them.
An email here, we have only a couple minutes left, but I want to read this from Elspeth. Mm-hmm. Are there organizations for housing for Ukrainians? We have a couple extra rooms. I don't anticipate needing the space in the short term until summer. My husband and I have both worked in helping professionals and his family who all immigrated from Mexico. You know, we are in Warren. So if somebody has, Enza, if somebody has space, even temporarily, is there a way for them to get in touch with you or another organization?
Exactly. I mean, again, they can reach out to me or they can reach out to the three resettlement organizations or the three resettlement agencies that are in the state of Maine. Maine has three resettlement agencies. One is located, actually, yeah, three resettlement agencies. One covers Bangor and the greater Portland area. Another one cover the Lewiston urban area, and there's another one also that still cover Bangor, I mean, Portland and Augusta and Waterville area. So, and I'm not sure if time will permit, but I can put the information on the chat for you, Jennifer, if you can look it up later and put it in your Facebook.
And I will do that.
Yeah, that would be great. So I'm going to type it quickly in the chat. And the three of them are the Refugees and Immigration Services for Catholic Charities, it's called RIS. They are located on 80 Sherman Street in Portland and 436 Main Street in Brewer. We have the Maine Immigrant and Refugee Services, MERS. They are located in Lewiston on Bartlett Street. I think but they're on Bartlett Street. They are well known. And then you still have RIS, the Refugee and Immigration Services from Catholic Charity, that have a representation in Lewiston as well. They are located on Park Street in Lewiston. Then you have the Jewish Community Alliance that is on 1342 Congress Street in Portland. They are also, these are all agencies that if you have an apartment that you want to, even temporarily, sure, that you want to give to the Ukrainian population, please reach out to them, and they will be happy that you did, and they will coordinate it with you. And
thank
if you,
you
have any,
I'm sorry, I have to cut you off because we're out of time. And Misha, I know that we didn't get time for you to talk about how you can help people still in Ukraine. So we will put any information that you give us on our webpage and Facebook page. I want to thank you both so much for joining us for this hour. Misha Klimov, a language instructor at Chomwonki, who grew up in Ukraine and is in touch with many friends and family members, and Enza Watara, State Refugee Coordinator with Catholic Charities Maine. Today's sound engineer was KG Akimoladun. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.